Good morning, church. Good to have you with us this morning. We're going to finish up our series we've been doing on the subject of prayer. Prayer is an essential in a Christian life. Amen. I want you to go to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is one of the most completely doctrinal books on the life of Christ. It looks at his life, his person. It does a soteriological study on who and what he did for our salvation. And in chapter 4, we look back to the nation of Israel, God's people. They went into the wilderness. God provided for them. God instituted their worship in the book of Exodus. They carried that with them. They had a tent or a tabernacle that they set up, and they worshiped God there. They had a high priest who performed the work of intercession for those people. If they accepted the teaching of the law and followed God, their sins could be remitted every year, once a year, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. Now, it was going to provide for them a future rest. The word rest in this context means that someday their sins would be forgiven completely, all God's people said. In the Old Testament, they were just covered. They weren't completely forgiven. Christ came, a different kind of priest. And he made a sacrifice one time. Old Testament, once a year, every year. Christ came, provided salvation and security and a rest in him that we have once we get saved. And listen very carefully, a future rest for all the Israelites, all the Old Testament saints, all the New Testament saints. Someday we'll be with God in heaven. Now this chapter 4 in the first 13 verses discusses some of those who did not believe. They were unheeding. They were not willing to listen to what Moses had to say, to apply the truth of their religious practices to their lives. And consequently, they never will enter into their rest. They didn't look forward to Christ's coming as we look backward to his sacrifice. And today it's not a once a year thing, it's a permanent thing, all God's people said. Amen. So now we come to verse 14, which is a very important verse. It says this: seeing then that we have... And he's talking now to New Testament believers. Amen. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Amen. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Here's the verse: let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. Now I want you to notice several things about this passage. Number one, I want you to look at verse 14. Excuse me. And notice with me the benefactor of the privilege of prayer. Then secondly, we're going to see the basis of this privilege. Thirdly, we're going to notice the boldness of this privilege. And lastly, we'll notice the blessings of this privilege. The privilege of prayer, verse 16. So first of all, notice with me the benefactor of this privilege. And he's identified in three ways in this passage. He's identified, number one, in his person. He's identified, number two, in his office. He's identified, number three, in his sympathy. Let me say that again. He's identified in his person. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, all God's people said. Amen. That establishes two things about Christ in his person. Number one, he was very man. And number two, he was very God. In theological terms, that's called the hypostatic union. It means nothing to you, but it means this, that the two natures were united in one person. He wasn't a dichotomy being. He was both God and both man at the very same time. Amen? He wasn't part God and part man. He was all God and all man. And as God the Son, he could come and do for us what no one could do for us except him. He came to provide a way of salvation. The only way he could do that is to take upon himself the form of humanity. Amen? He had to become a man. He had to become like us. So he became a man, Jesus. And he went to the cross. He died on the cross and he paid our sin debt. The benefactor of our privilege of prayer is none other than Jesus Christ. Secondly, this benefactor has an office. A great high priest, all God's people said. Notice it doesn't say high priest. He was more than a high priest. He was a great high priest. Now the Aaronic priesthood, Hebrews teaches us, was one that was set up for the work in the tabernacle under Moses' leadership. They were not sinless. Those priests were sinful. That's why once a year they went into the Holy of Holies and offered first a sacrifice for themselves, and then they could offer one for the people. They did not offer one for themselves, they wouldn't last long enough to offer one for the people. The priest had bells around his robe that he wore. They made noise, they could hear him working in the Holy of Holies. He had a rope tied to one ankle that went out into the holy place where the rest of the priesthood would have been. If he did not do his job properly, and he did not offer blood for his own sin first, he would have died, because he would have been impure standing in the presence of God. And when his bell stopped ringing, they drug him out. So the only one that could have face-to-face fellowship with God in a religious way was the high priest. No Israelite was afforded that opportunity. That was close to them. They look forward to a rest. And this great high priest showed up, Jesus, who only had to go one time into the holy place in heaven, not made with hands, offered his blood once. And you remember when he is dying on the cross, the curtain that hung between the holy place and the holy of holies was rent in two, from top to bottom. It exposed the altar for the first time to all men. And now when you come to Christ and receive him as your personal Savior, listen to me very carefully, you now have direct access to God. Amen. Our benefactor, Jesus Christ, died on the cross. He became our great high priest and made one offering for sin. And when he did that, whoever comes to him and believes on him, receives him as their Savior, will have direct access to God. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. So this benefactor was Christ. His office, great high priest. Wait a minute, he had a sympathy or sympathetic nature toward us. In fact, I would call it, he was our intimate. Let me give you the word intimate simply means a familiar friend who knows you very, very well and loves you and you love him. That's an intimate. Those people are sympathetic. Christ was sympathetic. Listen to verse 15. We do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Underline that word point. It's an important word. It does not mean in every single detail was he tempted. But in all points or general categories is that word. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All sin falls into one of those three categories. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And he was tempted in all three of those things. Matthew 4, Luke 4, Jesus was driven into the wilderness and tempted of Satan for 40 days. Yet without sin, all God's people said. Amen. So we have a perfect high priest. One that understands us. One that is our intimate. One who can sympathize with us. One who understands when you're sick. He understands when you don't feel good. He understands when you're hurting. He understands when you have loss. He understands when you have concern. He understands when you have a death in the family. He understands when you're stricken with a cancer or an illness. He understands us. We need someone like that, that we can go to. Our benefactor. Secondly, notice the basis of this privilege. In verse 16 it says, let us therefore come. That follows, listen to me, that follows on the footsteps of verses 14 and 15. Here's what he's saying. On this basis, you may come. Because Jesus died for us, because Jesus is our great high priest, because Jesus sympathizes with us, he's empathetic, he's our intimate. Because of these things, we may come. The basis of our opportunity or privilege to come before God is found in the person of Jesus Christ and His attachment to us. Christians all over the world today walk around wondering, questioning. They're unsettled. And yet the most settled, unquestioning, content people in the world ought to be believers. And when you have a difficulty based upon who and what Christ has done, we can bring our petition boldly before God. Unbelievable. My dad was 6'6", weighed about 290 pounds. He wore a size 60 suit. He was a big man. He used to tell us things like this: you want to have some money, you go out and earn it. Well, the other kids have an allowance. So we'll go move in with the other kids. Wasn't that a mean old guy? That's some of the best things I learned from my dad. However, when he is sitting in his chair at home, you didn't go before him and petition for a raise. You did not ask him for $5 or $2 or $1. I had a hard time going before him and asking him to change my dollar. He was an awesome figure. He was difficult to confront. Even though I was his son, I did not feel comfortable going into his throne room. How many understand what I'm saying? Your heavenly Father, because of Jesus Christ, is not like that at all. You can go into His throne room anytime you choose. Climb up into His lap, whisper in His ear what you need, and based upon the principle of prayer, if you need it, God will give it to you. Period. We can come boldly. That's our third point. Notice the boldness of this privilege. Let us therefore come boldly. The word boldly means confident assurance. It has the thought, and this is wonderful, it has the thought of speaking openly and frankly with God. Lord, I need. Lord, sister so-and-so is ill. Lord, my husband is dying of cancer. Lord, I'm bringing it to you boldly. It's access absolutely open. It's not 6 hours a day. It's 24/7. Do you understand that? Doesn't mean where. By the way, it doesn't matter where you are at the particular time. Doesn't matter whether you're still struggling with something. Good night. Come boldly. Give it to God. Let Him take care of you. Now, this is not arrogance. I get tired of those TV preachers that go ordering God around. I heard a guy on the TV say, if you want it, God is duty bound to give it to you no matter what. Just go in and tell Him you want it. That's arrogance. That's stupidity. Those guys need to go back to school and study some more, or they need to get an honest job. That's terrible kind of preaching. It's arrogant preaching. Farrer wrote this: before His ever blazing throne, we have no luster of our own. We don't have any luster. We don't shine so bright. We aren't so all that. But we have a God that is. Amen? I don't go to Him in my merits. Do you see that? I go to Him in Christ's merits. I don't go to Him because I'm perfect. I go to Him because Christ is perfect. And if you want a simple illustration, I just go in and say, Father, I'm needing this. You need to see what is the problem here. And before I go any further, it's all because of Him. Amen? Amen. Lord, I need your help today. I do. I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm a sorry individual. But it's all because of Him. Sitting there at the right hand of the Father, I guess it'd be Him. Amen? Ever interceding for us. And that interceding means to explain and to identify and then to convince intercession. So God says, well, and Jesus says, no. Father, they received me and all the work I did. They're your children. And God looks down and says, because of you? And He says, yes, because of me. And then we can go boldly. We can come boldly because of Him, not because of us. He opened the way for direct communication with God. And notice it says we may come boldly before the throne of grace. Is that a beautiful thought? What does grace mean? Unmerited favor. Think of this. You can come before God now, though you don't have anything to merit being there. Of your own, all God's people said. Amen. But God, who is a God of grace, and God who has a throne of grace, says, come here. But I have no luster of my own. I have no goodness in my own. I am not righteous on my own. He said, Jesus is. And so you can come to grace. And there at the throne of grace, though unmerited I be, grace offers merit to me. It's a throne of grace. Then notice lastly the blessing of this incredible privilege of prayer. And I see two. Number one, it says that ye may obtain mercy. When I've read that this last, and I've read it hundreds of times, but when I read that this last week, I about jumped out of my skin. I almost became a Baptist-costal. Is there any, listen to me very carefully, is there any better evidence that we have obtained mercy than the privilege of prayer? Can you think of one? Any better evidence that we've obtained mercy, that is, God not giving to us what we deserve. We deserve judgment and hell, and God removed that from us in the person of Christ. And now we're bound for heaven without judgment, all God's people said, which says to us, wait a minute, now that you're living under mercy, you can come to me boldly. I can't find a better expression of proof that says we've been saved by grace and have obtained mercy than that one little statement. It makes us accepted in the beloved, according to the book of Ephesians. Mercy withholds God's judgment from us and offers us peace and contentment and a place at the throne. You know, it's not like the confessional in the Catholic Church. Where I go, when I'm done, then you can go. And when you're done, then somebody else can go. But here, we can all go at the same time. Wait a minute. And he hears us as though he's talking to us individually. And he knows your individual situation exactly at the same time he knows mine. Now, I don't even want to start thinking about that because my mind's not big enough. But the fact of the matter is, we can obtain mercy. Then it says, and find grace to help in time of need. Where can you go when the need is so great and there's no adequate help to be found on earth? You can go to the throne of grace. The throne of grace does not judge you. It does not condemn you. It can't. Listen to me. It can't, because you've been saved by grace. Amen? I remember the story of a young gal who was dying. Her mama was sitting with her. She said, "Charlotte, are you fearful of dying? You're fearful of standing before God?" She said, "No, Mama, I'm not. I'm not." With that confidence, her mother got a little worried and said, "Well, what makes you so sure?" She said, "I stand before him forgiven." Her mother said, "Don't you mean you stand before him afraid?" And she said, "No, Mama, I'm not afraid, because I've been forgiven, made righteous in Christ, received grace, and God can't do anything but accept me." All God's people said. Amen. The blessing of this privilege. Folks, we've got to get by this silly nonsense that the world runs our life when God runs your life. We've got to get by this foolish notion that if we want it, we're going to have to work for it. We're going to have to develop certain things. We're going to have to be in certain directions. I'm not saying you don't need to do that, but I'm saying this. If God wants to give it to you, you better just get ready to get it. Back years ago, the treasurer of our church, this is when I was pastoring years ago in Michigan, came to me and said, "Man," he said, "we got to tighten the belt a little bit. Purse strings need to be pulled in." I said, "What's the story?" He said, "Well, we're $60,000 behind, and it's only April." And I thought, "Well, why don't you pay for it?" No, I didn't. I didn't think that. I said to him, "That's bad." He said, "It is." He said, "What are we going to do about it?" I said, "We're just going to fall on our face and pray and trust God." He said, "Pastor, I know you believe that." I said, "I wouldn't say if I didn't believe it." He said, "But this is a serious thing." I said, "Okay, well, why don't we just try it my way? Let's start." And this was on Monday after Sunday. I said, "Let's just pray for a few days, see if God doesn't do anything." Fellow in our church, he used to go to our church, moved to Las Vegas. He was a professional boxer. Unbeknownst to me, he had been gone for about 2 months, but unbeknownst to me, he had a fight. I forgot that he was having a fight. He fought. He hadn't joined a church yet. So he wrote us a check and sent it to us. Wednesday, the mail came. Secretary brought in the mail and said, hey, there's a letter here from Chris. I said, great. Wonder how he's doing, what he's doing. So I opened the letter. There's a check in there for $80,000. Now, I did the math. We were plus 20. Because God can do those things. But it's by faith. There was no way I was going to conjure that up or earn that, or I could borrow it, I guess. I didn't want to do that. I could browbeat the people and get the money maybe that way or part of it, but I didn't do that. I said, Lord, we're stuck. We've not been foolish with our money, but the giving just hasn't been the way it needs to be. Now I'm asking you to intervene in that situation and encourage hearts and bless hearts. But Lord, we need a special blessing from you. Now, the treasurer was a wonderful man. He owned a farm up by Montrose. But he didn't have enough faith that if it was his breath to blow a match out. He just didn't have much. And when we were done praying, he said, you think God will do anything? I said, I think so. When that check came, he about passed out. Guess where his faith went on the meter of faith? From about 50 to 100. It was because of him and that incident, by the way, that led him to say, Pastor, if we can trust God for that, we can trust God to pay off our first building. And we did. Instead of 15 years, we paid it off in 8.5 and saved ourselves $750,000. The throne of grace is where we go for that. Throne of grace is where we approach. The throne of grace has this blessing attached to it. Obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Prayer. Man, this has been a great study. I've enjoyed it. And I hope that you apply some of the truths we've learned and grow thereby. Amen? It's not any good just to hear it or just to say it. It's good to apply it. Let's apply it. Lord, help us to trust you and come boldly, not in our own selves, but in the person of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.